Kevin Papp, Blueworth County. My question is for Dennis Anderson, maybe Commissioner Landwehr, but I've asked him this question multiple times, so I think I know what his answer is. I want to talk about Lake Crystal, Minnesota. I want to talk about the American Legion in Lake Crystal. Okay, that's where we go for a lot of meetings. So it does, you know, we do a good job in agriculture, or a good job in this conversation, talking about environmentalists, or farmers, or conservationists. You're one, this one, that one, or that one. And kind of which, I don't want to use the word silo, but however you get labeled. My question is, going back to the Lake Crystal Legion, I really don't care if it's the Crystal Valley Cooperative, continuing education or professional development meeting, talking about best management practices or precision agriculture, things like that, or if it's a meeting by the University of Minnesota Extension on pesticide certification, applicator recertification, or if it's a Lake Crystal Ducks Unlimited banquet or a pheasant banquet. As I look at that room in Lake Crystal, it's always the same people. It's the farmers, it's the people in the community. Do you think, first Dennis, anybody else, do you think we'll ever get to the point where you can be both in agriculture or a farmer and a conservationist or an environmentalist? Or will we always have separate meetings with agencies where you have to be one or the other?
Let me take a shot as well, because I can think of at least three examples, Kevin, where we are working together, where the conservation community is working together with agriculture. And I think, I think what makes it successful is, first off, is a desire to do something, different. And so three examples I'll give. One is, you know, we use conservation grazing on wildlife management areas now because it's a good grassland management tool. You know, typically with grass, if you don't burn it or otherwise disturb it, it converts into brush, which is not what we want. We can't burn everything every year, so we've learned to use, you know, conservation grazing. It brings short rotation, intensive grazing into wildlife areas. And some of our, one of our managers here is here who's done a lot of that out by the Lac Qui Parle area. Exceptional results in terms of producing better grass. But it's benefit, obviously, for the local producer because he can rest his cattle off of his farm and get some benefit that way. So that's one example. I think another example is, and this has been highly publicized, even Dennis has written about this, I believe, it's called Worthington Wells. So down in the city of Worthington, they have a water problem as well. And one of their concerns is that if they have to treat for nitrates, it's going to become very, very expensive for them to run their municipal water system. But they have a very small, what you would call a wellhead protection area, where if they can protect the ground above that aquifer, then they will reduce the likelihood of having to ultimately treat that water. They worked very closely, the city worked very closely with Pheasants Forever in that area, and they acquired the land from a willing producer, put that into long-term easements or acquisition to prevent that from becoming susceptible to pollution. And so therefore they've worked together to create a, you know, long-term solution to domestic water. And I think the third one, and Dennis kind of touched on this a little bit, and I have great optimism for this going forward, although I know some people haven't had such success with it, is cover crops. And we're working with a fellow down in, I think it's Cottonwood County, a fellow by the name of Schmidt. Many of you know, blank on his first name right now, Chris Schmidt, do cover crops on wildlife areas. And, you know, DNR does have some food plots on some wildlife areas for pheasants and deer, but we do that typically under a co-op farming agreement with a local producer, and they take two-thirds of that and leave one-third of that. So what we're trying to do is look at how we can use cover crops on that crop ground to hold the soil in place, but also provide additional wildlife benefit, and finding great success with it. And I think, you know, that's one of those practices that I think ultimately more producers will adopt just voluntarily because they're finding it's good for the soil, it's good for their yields, and it's got ancillary benefits as well. So I think, short answer, Kevin, I think there are some areas for opportunity. I think the way that happens is, especially at the local level, when you can get a local Pheasants Forever group, local conservation group, sportsman's club, working with local ag community, I think you can really make something happen.